Want to drive greater success in social commerce? With Deloitte's latest creator economy research, you can. After surveying over 500 creators and 500 brands, our insights are helping CMOs and marketing teams harness the power of content creators. And not only that, but how to do it well. See for yourself by visiting cmo.deloitte.com today. Your website is the front door of your business, but the way teams build and optimize it is broken. Stuck between inflexible templates and cumbersome code-dependent solutions, there's a better, faster way. Enter Webflow, a visual-first platform that empowers you to create freely. Now you can ship web pages in weeks instead of months and save millions in development costs. These are the real results for companies like Orange Theory, one that I love, Dropbox, and IDEO. Get started today at webflow.com. Webflow, more than a website builder. This episode of the CMO Podcast is part of our Leadership During Crisis series. For these short episodes, I am inviting back previous guests to see how they are leading during the pandemic, how they are addressing new challenges, and how they are providing for their consumers, their employees, and the public during these unprecedented times. Today, my guest on Leadership During Crisis is Michelle Peluso, the SVP of Digital Sales at IBM and their Chief Marketing Officer. Today, Michelle talks about all of the things IBM is doing to try to help during this crisis, and she talks about how she's keeping her mental health strong through her kids and a new set of kittens. This is my conversation with Michelle. Michelle, welcome back to the CMO Podcast in this special recording in the middle of the coronavirus crisis. And I just want to say, I was on your website looking at all of the things you're doing, and it just is mind-blowing. So I want to start with, where are you as a leader at IBM focused right now? Because your company is involved in so many things to help people right now.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be back always. It's always good to talk to you. And look, this is a really dynamic time for all of us in marketing and for the world at large, characterized, I think, by, of course, empathy, adaptation, and action. And I would say the most important things that I've been thinking about, really five core areas. The first is, how do we make sure our people are safe and healthy and productive? And we've had, you know, we have over 350,000 people that have had to convert to working virtually, although not all of them. Many of our people run the world's mission critical systems. And so caring for our people, their physical and their mental well-being has been job number one for all of us in the senior team at IBM. And we've been doing lots of things to stay connected. Thankfully, on the marketing side, you know my passion for Agile. So our team is well prepared in this moment. We've been using these tools for a long time. We work on Mural and Trello and Slack. So our team has responded well, but we've been doing a lot of extra things, daily check-ins, exercise classes, you know, sort of fun videos, virtual coffee hours and happy hours, things to make sure we stay resilient as a team. Second thing is, we've been really thinking about what our clients need in this moment. And there's a lot of data to suggest that our clients are fast pivoting how they think about the here and now, but also how they think about the reset after. So we've coined them the big seven for us, but seven areas that we've pivoted our own offerings and our own go-to-market strategy around. Things like creating more resilient supply chains, things like accelerating the journey to cloud, things like how you empower call center agents to work virtually using AI. These are things that matter now more than ever as our clients prioritize, you know, responding to the crisis, keeping their businesses running, but also with an eye towards how does the world change? How do they reset? The third big area for us, of course, is the brand. And, you know, I remember watching, I wasn't at IBM, but during 2008, 2009, the financial crisis, IBM brand really stood up. That's when we launched Smarter Planet. And when others got quiet, we got loud. And I think this is a moment in time. Matter of fact, I was just looking at some third-party research suggesting that the brand, IBM brand itself, but other, you know, companies want to hear from technology companies. And there's sort of real favorability in thinking about how do these companies help businesses restart and move forward. So the brand, and we've launched some new advertising, we've launched some new capability we're excited about. Fourth thing is demand generation. We've got to remake how we do, you know, how we generate pipeline. We were on May 5th to 7th going to host our biggest ever physical event with Think. We're now going to do that digitally. And I'm incredibly proud of the team and how fast they have rallied to turn Think into the most extraordinary digital experience. So, you know, it's going to end up being significantly larger than what the in-person event would have been. And the in-person event was slated to be larger than anything we've done before. So look, there is a lot of innovation happening, a lot of creativity, and a little bit of holding our breath and crossing our fingers. So, you know, the team has been incredible in terms of how they've remade. Now, we throw 5,000 plus events a year. So you can imagine how much the team has had to remake how we engage with our clients in a virtual way. And the last thing, of course, is what do we do for society? The IBM brand has always been about making the world stronger era after era. And so we very quickly launched a series of things that we thought could help with the solution, the cure, and kind of the state we're in, whether that's supercomputing power and making sure that scientists have the most, you know, the best access through this consortium to supercomputing power to find targets faster, whether that's some of the work we've done with clinical trial capability, whether that's our weather.com asset where we can show you real-time access to county-by-county COVID cases. These are all things that, examples of ways that we're trying to step up. And we're big partners of Together at Home, which is the big event going live with Lady Gaga on Saturday. Exactly. That we're super excited about to partner with Lady Gaga and Global Citizen and the WHO and make sure that first responders have what they need.
I was on the Weather Channel platform last night looking at where my daughter lives, where I grew up, where I'm living now, and just checking cases, trends, you know, and just looking at all of the, it was very helpful because more information now is so critical.
We can make better decisions, right?
Yeah,
we can all make better decisions. And so that was an incredible thing the team did really quickly. And I think it's been a great asset for all of us citizens. But we're also giving governments access to free chatbots, AI chatbots, because they're so overwhelmed by, you know, people who have questions and concerns. And so these are all ways that that IBM is trying to make sure that we put our best forward to help the world find a cure and, of course, to help us all reset after this.
Yeah. Now, when we had our first podcast, it was different times, but you spoke so passionately about moving IBM marketing to agile working.
Yeah.
And now you've been into that and you just mentioned that set you up to help deal with this crisis better. I'd like you to go into that in a little more depth for our listeners.
Sure.
You know, what is it about agile working specifically that has helped you and your team pivot and cope and reboot so quickly as this crisis came upon us?
I think a few things, right? First of all, agile teams are really good at prioritization. They're really good at thinking about the outcomes they have to drive and every day prioritizing what matters. That is very, very valuable right now. You know, if you have teams that are sitting in silos, the creative team, the data team, the product marketing team, it's very hard to pivot quickly. Agile teams, that's the reason the word's agile, have an incredible ability to prioritize against the outcomes they're going to drive and move quickly to align work to what the priorities are. So I think that has been incredibly valuable. The second thing is agile teams know how to use collaborative tools. They are used to, they don't do PowerPoints and emails and Excel, right? They work in real-time dashboards. They use Trello, they use Slack, they use Mural. So they're used to using technology tools to enhance collaboration. That's really valuable right now. But the third thing I think is agile teams have a very strong sense of unity. They literally work, you know, almost all day together. And so, you know, that sense of community and that sense of shared purpose is also really important right now, because I've seen countless examples of agile marketers in IBM say, you know what, there's 8 of us on this agile squad, or there's 10 of us on this agile squad. One person has it worse than the rest of us. So how are we going to pitch in, help out? How are we going to reshape hours because 3 or 4 of us have little kids that we're also trying to get through school during the day? I've seen just an incredible amount of empathy and compassion that comes from that shared understanding of an Agile team. So, you know, I've said this so many times, but it never been more true. Agile, of course, is rituals. Agile, of course, is definition of work. Agile, of course, is tools and approach. Mostly, though, Agile is values. And I think more than anything else, you can judge a team and their Agile ability based on values even more than you can based on rituals. So I think this is what is serving some of the most Agile teams well right now. No doubt it's a hard time for everybody, so I don't want to underestimate the impact by any stretch. But I'm awfully proud of the IBM marketers. None of us would have foreseen this, but they've really risen to the challenge.
Let me speak for a moment about you as a leader, Michelle. You know, what's one non-obvious change in your life now versus before the crisis? I mean, we're all working with our families and, and working remote, but what's the non-obvious change?
That's a great question. I think all of us are just putting our humanity on our sleeves a little bit more and our vulnerability on our sleeves a little bit more. And there's something really beautiful in that. I mean, whether it's, you know, there are moments when I have young kids, you know, and they're coming into the room and I'm on like a really important, I was on a Nike board meeting yesterday and, you know, the kids are kind of trying to pop into the room and I'm, you know, trying to push them away.
I hope they were wearing Nikes.
Of course they were. Yeah. Of course they were. And I could hear them whispering to each other, is that Tim Cook? You know, so, but, you know, we've had, I was filming a video for our marketers. We've been doing these kind of daily videos and the kids were really intrigued. And actually it's a long story, but we have a puppet, Dewey, believe it or not, that is one of our Agile coaches, and Dewey can do things and say things that the rest of us can't. So he's been amazing at helping kind of Agile teams. Anyway, the kids I was doing this interview with Dewey and the kids saw it and couldn't understand what was going on, thought the whole thing was ridiculous. And so at the end, I asked Dewey to TikTok because our house is full of TikToking lately. And Dewey did a great version of Renegade. And then the kids jumped into the background and did this great version of their. And so anyway, the video got packaged together for IBM marketers. And you see my kids making these cameo Renegade, you know, TikTok moves in the middle of it all. So I think there's something about, I've always been wear my heart on my sleeve about, you know, my family and the things that matter to me. But I think now more than ever, we're all willing to be more vulnerable, more human, show each other sides of ourselves that we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something really beautiful in that. There's something inspiring and uplifting. And I think even when we are back to whatever the new normal is, I think there'll be a wealth of warmth and humanity that stays because of this time we've shared together.
Yeah, I agree. Is there a habit or a practice or a ritual that you'll think you'll carry forward from this time when we return to normal? What would that be?
30-minute meetings are always now 20 minutes. Our meetings are always 45 minutes. So I've always been a big fan. You know this. At 15 minutes, I think we can get done almost anything we need. But I have been, because I literally will sit in this chair for like 12 hours a day and I'm going stir crazy. I'm an active person and sitting still by myself all day, you know, on video drives me insane. So we have moved to 100% of our meetings. If there are normally 30 minutes, they're 20. And if they're normally an hour, they're 45 or 50, just so that each of us can get up, get a glass of water, make sure the child is doing their school, you know, is on the right Zoom link, check in with our spouse. In my case, my spouse is doing most of the heavy lifting of home right now. And so, this has been, it's a small thing, but it's a sort of blow for freedom in this, you know, for all of us. And, you know, the reality is if you know you have 20 minutes,
you get it done.
You're smarter about what you have to cover. And the other thing is if we don't cover it all off, I'm like, great, we'll get 15 tomorrow. Let's make progress on these three things. And when we come back tomorrow, let's, you know, close it out.
Yeah.
So I think it's forcing discipline. The other thing I would say is I think we're accelerating decisions, and that often happens in a crisis where you've got to pivot, you've got to be agile, you have to. So there's a sense of okay, let's debate. Now you got this, go, or I got this, I'm gonna go. And collaboration is always really critical, but I do think that we're trying harder to drive faster to decisions and to execution because we have to. And we don't have as much time for let's endlessly examine this problem and debate the possibilities. And it's more like, okay, we think this is the right thing. Let's go. We'll make it better tomorrow. I remember we launched some of our web pages, on these new offerings, on the things we're doing for society, and they weren't great. But we had a choice. Get it out there immediately and then make it better tomorrow, make it better the next day. We've got all the tools in the world to optimize and improve. And the first night I got emails from a bunch of people, hey, I don't, this isn't, this isn't. I said, I know about that. Like, but why don't we stop and celebrate that the team got it up within X hours? That's amazing in our, in our culture. And now tomorrow it's gonna be better. Check back at noon, check back again at 5, check back the following morning. It's just gonna get better. So I think we're pushing ourselves harder on that entrepreneurial mindset.
What would you say is the key to success for today's CMO? If you said data, you wouldn't be the only one. At Deloitte, however, we believe data is only half of the equation. The other half, story. Because data is the language of business, but story is the language of humans. And we believe the most successful CMOs know how to harness the power of both data and story. To learn more about Deloitte's CMO program and how we can help today's CMOs succeed, visit cmo.deloitte.com.
Is there anything about your marketing or you as a leader or your team as leaders that you found during this time to be more important than you thought? Or is there anything that you found to be less important than you thought?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's tons of things that are less important. So, I think you cut to the chase pretty quickly on things now, right? I mean, frankly, and this is stuff we know, but for all of us that are big companies, we produce reams of content that don't really get consumed. There's a long tail of stuff that is not nearly as productive as, as other things. And I think this moment is forcing us to really reconcile, with that and to make different decisions. So that would be one thing I would say. On the positive side, I've really been impressed, and I mentioned this about the Agile teams, but I'm seeing leaders really step up in new ways as well, and I've talked about this before with you. When we went through 9/11, that sort of crisis of being down by the towers and losing, our offices and then not our business model, collapsing and having to be redone. I just remember that those hard times, those crisis moments, that's when real leadership emerges. And I'm seeing that, many people in IBM and on my team and in the world, right? So that's inspiring, I think, for all of us to sit back and say, in a crisis, what does leadership look like? What does great leadership look like? And how do we take some of those lessons back in our day jobs?
Beautiful. You're sitting at IBM, which has a window into so much in the world. And I know this is speculation because we're early in this crisis, really. But what consumer habits, what enterprise habits do you think are going to change coming out of this? And what do you think will change in how we work that is more sustained?
Yeah. On the enterprise side, I think the digitization, journey we've been on will radically accelerate. I think this crisis laid bare where we haven't done enough work. And I think the ones who were leading have done better. And when I say digitization, I don't just mean the front end. Do you have a good mobile app or do you have a good, I mean, from the inside out. So can you, if you must, have 20,000 workers work remotely with AI and chatbots to service 3x the volume of customers than you had the week before? Can you, if you must, really understand your supply chain and be able to understand the breaking points, the resilience points from the raw materials all the way through to where things get delivered? Can you reroute? Can you be agile? Can you adapt? Can you, if you must, adapt consumer-facing applications, at the speed of insight? Or do you have so many legacy systems and legacy sources of data that you can't do it? Can you, if you must, have workers work remotely for prolonged periods of time? And how good is your team at doing that? So I think there's going to be an even more profound and radical push towards digital transformation. So that would be the first thing. And I think that will have, you know, several ingredients, right? Supply chain resiliency, call center adaptation, virtual working. I think there'll be an accelerated race to the cloud. I think that that will happen, modernizing applications at a much faster pace, going to containers and microservises so that you really can access data wherever it resides. Those are some examples, but I think cybersecurity is probably another great one. This laid bare a lot of new cybersecurity challenges. So those are some areas that I think will fall under the rubric of much more radical digital transformation. I think the second thing, you know, that consumer, I think this, you know, this is going to take a while for consumers to gain confidence. And I think the return of our economy in some ways won't be a return, it'll be a reset. And, you know, nobody can predict the future, but we'll get there in steps, not in leaps. We're all going to have to be very adaptive. You know, return to work, as you know, is going to require masks and social distancing and really different ways of doing things. And so I think that's all in the cards for us as we wait for vaccines and other things, which are still a ways off. So, you know, I think we'll see all of that. I hope, the one thing I hope, and I worry about the most probably, but I hope, unfortunately, this crisis is also hurting small and medium businesses the most. And what I hope is that we figure out a way to emerge to get those businesses back on their feet, because I don't think we want to live in a world where the largest corporations become larger. And I say that even as a large corporation, but I think it's going to be, that's probably the thing I worry about and think about the most. How do we make sure that, you know, plenty of big firms can withstand this and will pivot and will figure it out, and or maybe even benefited from, you know, just the consolidation that happened in the past few weeks. I worry most about sort of small and medium businesses.
As you look at the last month, would you have done anything differently as a leader? Or do you feel it's gone reasonably well?
Sure. I always look at the last month and think there's things I would do differently as a leader. I look at the last 24 hours and think there are things I would do differently. You know, I think what's so striking is our worst fear, our worst case scenarios became our sort of most optimistic projections the following day, or, you know, within days. So I'm certainly proud of IBM. We shut off as we do all sorts of things ahead of, you know, the kind of government's ruling and the like. But I think I'll look back and think about, were there even earlier warning signs? Could we have moved even faster on some of these things, right? Could we have done more to move faster on some of this stuff? So I think that's one thing I'll probably think about a lot once we're through the crisis of the day. Second thing I think is, you know, it's, I think we actually did get in our stride pretty quickly here, but I am, you know, we the mental well-being of people is something that's top of mind for me too. And, you know, I think we started out of the gate with okay, here's all the work and here's what we're going to do. And we did a lot with, like, you know, videos and town halls and communications and the like. But we've introduced a lot lately in terms of sort of mental well-being. And I think we should have done that. I should have done that faster. So there's lots of things I think we could improve, should have improved. I should have done better, faster. But all in, you know, being however many weeks are we into this, you know, I go back to the five things we started with. You know, the team in general versus a lot of other teams in the world is doing remarkably well thanks to their own resilience and skills. I think we've pivoted pretty quickly to clients. I think we've made our brand stand pretty strong with our new advertising and our new positioning. You know, to get creative and new ads out within the span of 21 days, well, even 14 days, when you don't have talent or recording studios or, you know, any of those things is quite interesting. And then I think, you know, we've We'll see how Think goes. Everybody should come May 5th and 6th.
That's my birthday. I should join.
All right. You should. It could be, we'll sing happy birthday to you. How about that?
Thank you.
Promise.
Very good.
You let me know you're coming and we'll sing from the digital stage.
Let's coordinate that off camera. Yeah, very well. So can you point to one single thing? You have thousands of people in your remit at IBM Marketing. What's the single thing that you're most proud of from your organization over the last month?
Resilience, innovation, humanity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, we should never make an ad again that takes more than 14 days to do, right?
I know. And that doesn't cost much either, by the way.
And I think the quality of advertising, because I'm like many people, I'm watching more news.
Yeah.
And I'm watching other things. I think it's better.
Yeah.
It's more generous. That. It's more natural. It's more, because I think our conditions were so constrained, people have been extra creative.
It's a very good thought. It's a very good thought. So, you know, that's why I go back to, you know, this isn't going to be, it's not going to be a restart. It's going to be a reset.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Final question. What are you doing to keep your mental health high and your vitality high?
Yes.
Yeah.
So first of all, kids help a lot, right?
Yeah.
So kids help a lot and there's always a lot of humor, but in the really random category, we now have foster kittens and a feral cat living with us over this period of time. So you just can't stay stressed when you have, you know, three little 3 and 4 week old kittens kind of purring and crawling around. So
I'm very impressed.
The poor local Humane Society was, you know, they're obviously like everybody going through a tough time. So we are fostering kittens and we've never done it before. We're animal lovers as a family, but it is truly the cutest thing in the world. So, for these sort of 12, 13, 14 hour days when I'm sitting in this chair on screens about to go crazy, having kittens kind of
nearby helps.
It helps a lot. Kids and kittens and a fabulous husband.
That's a good note to end on.
Good.
Michelle, this has been so generous of you to be with us, and it's great to see you doing so well. And thank you for what you're doing at IBM on so many levels for so many people. It's very inspiring.
Always good to see you, Jim. Take care. See
Thanks,
you soon,
Michelle.
I hope. Bye.
Okay. That was my conversation with Michelle Peluso. What I loved about this one was how she has taken her entire marketing team years ago into agile working systems and how that has prepared them so well to pivot quickly and help people, help customers, help their employees during this pandemic.
That's it for this episode of our Leadership During Crisis series. We hope you enjoyed this follow-up episode and found value and insight into how these leaders and brands are operating during this pandemic. If you found this episode interesting or helpful, I would be so grateful if you shared it with your friends and if you gave the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Subscribe to the show and get notified every time we publish a new episode. The CMO Podcast is a Gallery Media Group original production.